This is a Dragon Blazer production, and I am the little boogeyman. All right.
Coming down the aisle, it's the podcast tag team champions of the world, the Rage and Blaze Show. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Rage and Blaze Show. I'm Rage.
And I'm Blaze.
Well, yeah, it's WrestleMania 10.
I can't believe we've been 10 WrestleManias
10
already.
WrestleManias.
That is an...
Well, yeah, it's WrestleMania 10.
I can't believe we've been
10
WrestleManias
10
already.
WrestleManias.
That is insane.
I can't believe we've almost done this podcast for a year.
Has it been a year? When was our first episode? That was crazy.
Well,
it's been a year. Wow. But it took us a year to get through 10 WrestleManias. And what's really crazy is we're about to have some in-your-house pay-per-views. So this is going to slow down our timeline quickly here in 1995.
Right.
Because we're going to have a lot more shows to do within a year's period. So we're not going to be moving along as fast as we have been. So it just kind of makes you wonder how long it'll take us to get to WrestleMania 20.
Well, we started this podcast. Today's June 9th.
Yeah.
At a 1.
Oh, really?
June 19th is when we started this podcast.
Oh, so by next week's show, we can celebrate our 1 year anniversary.
Also, our next week's show, not only is it 1 year anniversary, it's our 50th episode.
Wow.
So
big milestones coming up here at the Rage and Blaze Show. Wow, we've made it somewhere. We're doing awesome. I'm glad the handful of you that listen have followed along with the ride.
That's right. For a year.
Soon to be nationally recognized Rage and Blaze Show.
Soon to be.
Soon to be. If you watched NXT, you would understand what I'm doing here.
No, I didn't.
So, which definitely, watch NXT. Dear Lord, that what happened last week on NXT, I haven't finished this week's NXT. It just happened as of the time of this recording. It just happened last night, and I'm about halfway through. Last week, Adam Cole came out and interrupted a number one contender's triple threat match and attacked everybody with a chair, and then came out and made an epic promo with Karrion Kross. I think, did I send you the link? Did I show you it? Okay, maybe I should have showed you this. So Adam Cole comes out and tells Karrion Kross, he said, NXT has done everything to make you special. They've gave you the pyro, they've gave you the cool music, they've gave you the girl, they gave you the entrance. He said, you know what NXT has ever done for me to make me special? They rang the freaking bell. It was an awesome promo. It really looked like there might have been some real animosity between these two. Maybe these two were just that good at doing their job, but it felt like there was some real tension in the room. And I cannot wait till this Sunday. NXT In Your House Takeover is going to be awesome. They ended up turning it into a fatal five-way match for the NXT Heavyweight Championship. I couldn't be more excited and stoked for this match coming up.
Hooray.
You gotta watch it. If you got the Peacock Network, there's no reason for you not to watch it. NXT is where it's at. I'm telling you, it's the best wrestling show today. If you're not watching it, then what are you doing watching wrestling?
I'm watching old wrestling.
But before we get to WrestleMania 10, we had the pleasure to go to our local Cinemark movie theater, and we got to watch AEW Double or Nothing 2021. Did you enjoy yourself?
It was great. I mean, with the exception of a couple matches, it was a fantastic show.
Yeah, there was a couple duds, and I had a couple complaints, but outside of that, they did not botch some big move like they have done a couple times recently.
Yeah, there was no visible cardboard.
Yeah, there was no visible cardboard. There was no sparklers instead of an explosion. It actually came off with a hitch. There was a couple matches that I thought was just eek, but other than that, there wasn't. It was just eek, but other than that, there wasn't any major screw ups that made headline news. It was actually a very fun night, and I have to admit, I enjoyed myself very much. So let's go through the card. We got there at 7 o'clock. Show technically didn't start till 8, but we got to sit and watch all the promos and the build-up and everything. But what we did get was we got a 15-minute match, or almost 15-minute match. We got a dark match by getting to watch the pre-show.
Yeah.
So we got to see Serena Deeb versus Rio in a singles match for the NWA World Women's Championship. And I'm telling you what, this kicked off the show perfectly. This match was awesome. This was a dark match.
Yeah, it was a very good match. This match was awesome. And for those who may not remember, Serena was in the Straight Edge Society with CM Punk. She was a little more bald-headed back then. But she was an old WWF or WWE wrestler. She used to be part of the Straight Edge Society, if you remember that group.
And I think Rio was the champion coming in, so the title changed hands. So this was a awesome. Well, maybe it didn't change it.
No.
Was she Serena? Serena was the champion
because it wasn't an AEW title.
Oh, that's right.
Serena was the champion. Rio is an AEW wrestler.
Oh, she's AEW. Okay, so, well, anyhow, it was awesome. Serena Deeb kept the title then, I guess. And it was an awesome match, and it was a great way to kick it off. I actually thought this was a better women's title match than the women's title match we
got we'll get to that
later on, but we'll get to that. Next match was Adam Page versus Brian Cage. It was an okay match. I don't remember it being anything.
It was good. I mean, I thought it was a decent match. I thought both of them, especially Hangman Page, was a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, so it wasn't like, oh my gosh, yeah, but it was a good match. Now, this next match was really good. It was a tag match for the AEW World Tag Team Championships. The Young Bucks.
Super Kick Party!
Matt Jackson and Nick Jackson. Versus Jon Moxley and Eddie Kingston, and this match was fun. This was a great, great match.
The Young Bucks are fantastic. They were so much fun to watch. I mean, I really enjoyed the story they told. You know, the Young Bucks clearly was the more experienced tag team, and you saw that while they wrestled. Like, them wrestling in tandem was just awesome. I loved this match.
Yeah, this was a very fun, exciting, and it was probably the first match that really jumped out at you. And like I said, that women's match was fun, but this was like the first match that was like, oh my gosh, this is why you watch pay-per-view events, is for matches like this. So then the next match was the Casino Battle Royale for a future AEW World Heavyweight Championship match. And I've never seen a Casino Battle Royal.
So well, I've never seen
the... This was interesting, just the way they did things.
It's the signature match of Double or Nothing. I don't normally spend money on the pay-per-views for AEW. You know, I'm used to how it is the last few years with WWE, where...
Yeah, come on, AEW. Yeah, give us an app. And I'll watch you more. It's right. That's the reality. I mean, WWE changed the game. It's kind of hard to pay for a pay-per-view.
Right.
And the reason we went and did this, because it was at our local theater.
It was at a theater,
it felt like, okay, I'll pay $25.
It was a big deal.
It felt more like a big deal. You get to see it on the big screen. I'd be willing to do that again. I think there's only maybe 4 pay-per-views for AEW a year.
Yeah,
the rest of them are TV specials.
Yeah, our one of our friends that came, fellow co-host of the Pro Wrestling Apologist, came with us, Craig Atkins, and he said he wants to try to do that with everyone. So he had so much fun. So did I. It was a blast to watch it at the theater.
Yeah, it definitely, it was the first time we've ever watched a wrestling event at the theater. It was my first time as well. It was pretty fun to watch. I really wish there was a packed house. There was only, what do you say, maybe 15, 10 of us?
Yeah, it wasn't a lot.
There wasn't a lot of people. There was social distancing. But it wasn't a packed house by no means. But there was a couple times that a small crowd kind of got into it and were yelling things out. But not a lot.
Now, this Battle Royale was the first time we really got, like, I don't think we got a lot of yelling from this show, except for us.
Yeah.
we were the ones doing most of the yelling.
This is true.
Until this Battle Royale, where Jungle Boy wins, and it was so awesome. Everybody, the crowd erupted at that theater when Jungle Boy won that Battle Royale.
So I started chanting 90210. I thought it was cool.
So Rage is a dick.
So anyhow, this match starts out with Christian Cage as the number one entrant, and you're immediately thinking AEW is about to copy WWE with having Edge win, and he came in at number one this year in the Royal Rumble. So immediately you're thinking, oh my gosh.
Christian, they're going to give it to Christian.
They're going to give it to Christian. He's the first entrant. And you're thinking Christian's going to win. So the final three was Christian Cage, Matt Hardy, and Jungle Boy.
And immediately
you're like, either Matt Hardy's winning this or Christian's winning
this. Yeah, Jungle Boy had no chance.
So when you saw Matt Hardy get eliminated, and it wasn't Christian versus Matt Hardy as the final two, you're thinking to yourself, okay, Christian has this. It's a done deal. You don't even have to watch the rest of the match. So to see Jungle Boy win this was the most shocking moment. Everybody in the theater actually did react. We might have reacted louder than others.
It was awesome.
But it was a big moment. I started chanting 90210. For those of you who don't know, Jungle Boy is Luke Perry. He is his son. So it was
R.I.P. Luke Perry.
It was just insane. It was an insane moment for the show, and it was probably one of my favorite moments of the show because it actually shocked me. Not often do you get shocked as a wrestling fan.
Right.
It shocked me, and I thought it was awesome. So that was a really cool moment, and I enjoyed the Casino Battle Royal, the whole concept of bringing multiple people in at one time instead of one guy at a time. It was just kind of neat. I liked it. Now, they did have a, what's it called, the wild card, which ended up being Leo Rush. That was disappointment.
Yeah.
If those of you who don't know, Leo Rush showed up to AEW Double or Nothing, wrestled in the Casino Battle Royal, and then just this past week retired from wrestling.
Yeah, I saw...
What?! That was your big shocker.
Apparently he got injured during that Battle Royal. And that injury caused him to decide to,
I guess retire. I guess I expected the wild card to be somebody a little bit bigger. Like, they announced that Mark Henry signed later in the show, and I know he's signing as a commentator, probably not a full wrestler, but what would it have killed to put Mark Henry in that Battle Royal as the wild card? That would have been a bigger shock. It would have been a bigger, awesome moment of somebody like Mark Henry didn't want to wrestle. Yeah, but it's a battle royal. You can go in there and get thrown over the top rope and be done. I mean, I don't know. Anyhow, Leo Rush was the big surprise, and I thought that was kind of a...
It was a bit of a disappointment, but the winner made up for
it. You just had a lot of WWE superstars get released, and like Andrade just showed up in AEW. Why couldn't Andrade just show up at the Battle Royal? Maybe, that would have been a bigger name and a bigger deal.
Maybe because if he would have showed up, maybe if you bring one of those people in there, perhaps you may want them to be the winner and you don't want them to be overshined.
Well, you get to dictate the winner, so you could have started a feud with somebody in the Battle Royal by him getting eliminated in a certain way.
You could also disappointed a lot of fans.
We're not gonna keep going into this. I thought their wild card was weak.
Sure, but the winner was amazing.
Okay. Winner was amazing. It was a fun match. Moving on to your popcorn match. This match is when I believe Craig got up to use the bathroom. People went and refilled their popcorn. It was really a disappointing match. It wasn't that good. It was the American Dream for one night, Cody Rhodes versus Anthony Ogogo.
You know,
it just wasn't that good of a match.
I'd say it was a bad match. I'd say that it was
a dull match.
Dull compared to the other matches.
It just wasn't a fun, it just wasn't exciting.
It was just more of your typical wrestling match, where the other matches had a lot of surprises, excitement, and everything like that. And that's kind of one of my issues with Cody Rhodes. I like Cody Rhodes, but it seems like those are mostly his matches.
Yeah.
He's not anything. He's a good wrestler, but he's nothing
exciting to watch.
Yeah.
So, the next match was for the AEW TNT Championship. It is Miro versus Lance Archer with Jake the Snake Roberts. I enjoyed this match. They even tased a snake, but the snake never got used. That never came out of the bag.
They killed it.
Yeah, they killed the snake, but the snake never came out of the bag.
PETA's like getting pissed.
I was really excited when I saw Jake bring out the bag, and I thought, oh my gosh, they're gonna have a snake. And no, we never get to see the snake. Snake gets stomped on.
Yeah.
The bag gets stomped on. This was a fun match. This was a good match. I enjoyed this. Miro retains the AEW TNT Championship. So then you had the AEW Women's World Championship, and it was Dr. Britt Baker DMD versus Hikaru Shida. She was the champion, and we have new AEW Women's World Champion, Dr. Britt Baker.
Which I'm very happy she won.
It was a really cool moment.
I really like Britt Baker. This was one of my down matches for me. The match itself was kind of disappointing.
Yes.
But I actually really like Britt Baker.
Yeah, I was happy she won, but the match didn't live up to it. I actually thought this was going to be the match to watch all night, and it did have the ending that I hoped with Britt Baker winning. And it was the only title change of the night, which was very disappointing. But the match itself just left a lot to be desired, and I think the girls during the dark match outperformed these two.
I agree. Here's the problem: when I was regularly watching AEW has a kind of a weak women's division. Their women wrestlers are not super great. Britt Baker, I think, is probably the best in the division, and I'm really hoping, based on the recent cuts from WWE, I'm hoping and praying that AEW manages to snatch up Ruby Riott, and I think that should really beef up their women's division. I mean, they need more, but I think Ruby Riott would definitely help. I think Ruby Riott's really good. And she could help AEW. She just recently got cut.
Possibly. Next match was Darby Allin and Sting versus the Men of the Year, Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky, in a tag team match. This was a fun match, and it shocked the hell out of me, because Sting is, what, 62 years old now?
Yeah, he was very impressive.
They definitely kept him on the outside most of the time to let Darby Allin do most of the heavy lifting. Sting came in high spots and to do more exciting moves here and there briefly. So they used him in a way that I don't know if Sting could do a full singles match, but in a tag team match, this worked. And it was really fun. And it was cool seeing Sting in a good enough form. He didn't look like an elderly man in the ring. Does that make sense? But they did it in a tag match to where he didn't have to do as much. This was a fun match.
Yeah.
Now we go to what, in my opinion, should have been the main event, but that's here nor there. Kenny Omega, Orange Cassidy, and Pac in a three-way match for the AEW World Heavyweight Championship. I loved this match. I thought this match was awesome.
It was fantastic.
This should have been the main event. A little disappointed the title didn't change hands. Being that no other title except for the women's title changed hands, I really, really thought the title was going to change hands, and it didn't.
I was all in on Orange Cassidy winning that title.
I don't know. After seeing some of Pac's moves, I kind of was rooting for Pac.
I was rooting for Orange. I'd get me an Orange Cassidy shirt, to be honest with you, just to go to these pay-per-views that we're going to.
So, you going to get the sunglasses, too? Okay. So, I thought this was your main event. This match was fun. Little disappointed title didn't change hands, but that didn't change how exciting this match was.
No, it was fantastic.
This match was fantastic.
And to be honest with you,
and it was 27 minutes long.
I agree. I was hoping for a title change, but at the same time, you know, Kenny Omega was just as impressive as the other. I mean, that was a fantastic. I felt like it was fantastic for all three involved. I mean, it was just hands down the match of the night.
Yeah, not even close. This was fantastic.
And this one got a lot of other people besides us being vocal as well in that theater. There was a guy right next to us wearing a Kenny Omega shirt who was clearly a huge Kenny Omega fan. fan.
So if you know what Kenny Omega does, it was this. I don't know if he was all there. He literally stood up and did the whole gun thing.
Yeah, he was super into Kenny Omega.
He was super into it.
I was trying to root for Orange Cassidy and fight with him a little bit. It was fun. That's what you do.
Okay, so the main event, the Stadium Stampede match, the Inner Circle, Chris Jericho, Jake Hager, Sammy Guevara, Santana, and Ortiz versus the Pinnacle, Cash Wheeler, Dax Harwood, MJF, Shawn Spears, and Wardlow. I'm going to be honest with you. I am not a fan of cinematic matches. I'm not a fan of cinematic matches, but this one was done pretty good. And it had a very, very cool spot in it where Urban Meyer... this was done in the Jacksonville Jaguars Stadium.
Yeah.
So Urban Meyer was in his office. And him and an assistant coach, I don't know the name of the assistant coach, I apologize. But the assistant coach started tossing...
We're a wrestling podcast.
started tossing Jericho. Well, I'm not a Jaguars fan, or maybe I would know who it was. the assistant coach started tossing footballs at Jericho, and Jericho was throwing them at MJF. And then Urban Meyer handed him a laptop, and he hit MJF with a laptop. That was a really cool moment. The rest of the match was just whatever. I mean, I was happy they ended it in the ring. They did eventually come to the arena and end it in the ring, so that was good. They had an awesome sing-along moment afterwards. But I don't even know if we've mentioned this, but there was a live crowd there. There was a live crowd, and they were on fire. So to have a cinematic match when you haven't had live crowds for over a year, I thought was a really silly move.
I really enjoyed this. I mean, it wasn't obviously match of the night or anything, but I like some of the cinematic. I guess I don't want to say I like cinematic matches because not all cinematic matches are equal. But when they're done well, Like, I enjoyed Undertaker versus AJ Styles, the cinematic match they did. I believe at WrestleMania, correct?
They did. They did two cinematic matches that night, and I will say that those are the only two cinematic matches that I've kind of somewhat enjoyed. And that was Undertaker and AJ Styles. They did a really, really good job. Because it felt more like a match that just took place where it took place. It yeah. didn't feel... But then they did a fun Bray Wyatt-John Cena match.
It was fun.
Which was completely over the top. And I don't even call it a real match. But I enjoyed all the throwbacks that they did.
Yeah, there, yeah.
With the NWO shirts and everything. The little going through wrestling history.
I also really enjoyed the Money in the Bank cinematic match they did last year.
I did
loved
not.
It. I loved it. So I'm not nearly as harsh about it. And I do get your point that this is the first time you have crowds. Maybe not the best idea, but this is a match they do. Like, they did this before the pandemic. So this is a popular thing that they've done before. So I get it. And like you said, it ends in the ring. So
Ending in the ring definitely helped it. But I just thought it was ill-advised that your WrestleMania is essentially what this is, right? Double or Nothing is AEW's yes. biggest show of the year. Your main event, instead of being for your world title, was this 5-on-5 cinematic match.
I'm guessing
when you had live crowds there.
I'm guessing I agree with you that technically the main event should have been the triple threat. The only thing I can think of is production-wise. Maybe it was easier to do
Oh, no, I know it. Why. It was easier to do that as your final match.
Yeah.
Instead of coming back to the arena and then doing one more match. I know why they did it the way they did it. I'm just pointing out you could have had a 5-on-5 match in front of the live crowd. When you're making a big deal about live crowd coming back, that just was the wrong time to have a cinematic match.
Yeah, but it was
just
fun.
My opinion.
It was a lot of fun.
Hey, and if you agree with me, you get on those sites that we have the social
media things. Yeah,
and let us know what you think. If you disagree with me, just keep it to yourself.
No, I disagree. Yeah, give them shit.
Okay, so overall, this was a really, really fun night, and I'm just happy I didn't pay $25 to go watch it on the big screen. Just to see some big goof-up like we saw at Blood and Guts on regular TV. So I was happy there wasn't nothing like that. I can sit here and argue and complain about the Stadium Stampede, but that was advertised. We knew that was happening before we even bought the ticket. So it's hard to complain about it when you knew about it. Where the people at Blood and Guts who paid for a ticket live ended up only getting to watch that Blood and Guts, and they felt kind of snake bitten.
Yeah, that was a different story.
But at least I knew what I was walking into. I just have my opinions about it, which is okay.
Fair enough.
So anything else you want to touch base on this AEW or big news coming out of wrestling we haven't brought up is Braun Strowman got released. I don't think we've talked about that yet. That was a huge shock, considering he was in the main event at the last pay-per-view at WrestleMania Backlash. He was in the Triple Threat main event. I mean, and he gets released. Also, Aleister Black was released after they have been building him up for a new gimmick, and they just released him. Now, I've heard rumors, as of today, I heard rumors that there are people inside the WWE that are campaigning to bring Aleister Black back already. Hmm. This is what I have heard today. This is just backstage rumors, so don't know how true it is, but there is people within the WWE that think that the Aleister Black release might have been a mistake.
Hmm.
So, now, let's travel back in time to 1994 to WrestleMania 10. Okay, so first thing we get is a little video package going back to reminisce from WrestleMania 1. And then, of course, they jump into WrestleMania 10. I actually thought it would have been cool if they had shown snippets of every WrestleMania, but they just showed snippets of WrestleMania 1.
I was expecting that as well.
And I guess maybe the more symbolic part is the fact that this is Madison Square Garden, and they've done Madison Square Garden now. This is the second time. So they showed the other Madison Square Garden.
But that was the worst WrestleMania.
But I suppose that could be why they only showed WrestleMania 1. And then we get Vince McMahon announces Little Richie. He comes out and sings America the Beautiful.
He does?
He did.
I guess I only really know Little Richard from, what, Great... I'm not even going to sound stupid. I can't remember what songs he sings.
I said Little Richie. I meant Little Richard. I don't know. I mean, I know who he is, but...
I know who Little Richard is, too, and I'm sure I know his songs. But I don't remember what he sings.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. Off the top of my head, I can't really think about it either. What his, you know, big song would be. But regardless, it was Little Richard.
Tutti Frutti
on the Rudy.
Yeah, that's
okay.
One of them. Good Golly Miss Molly.
Okay. Yeah.
Here's a list of top 10 Little Richard songs, because that's what's important to know right now.
Okay, so regardless, then we move into the event, and we have our first match of the night, which is Bret Hart versus Owen Hart, which is deemed to be a huge classic. Now, I thought this match was pretty good. I thought it was actually overly good. But I think it took towards the middle to the end of the match to really hype up. The beginning was just a lot of roll-ups and reversals, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think it really took till about mid-match to really gear up and start becoming the classic that we hear about. But this was an exceptional match. I would have to give it 4.5 Jealous Brothers.
This was a decent match. I mean, it was very good, which I kind of expected. Got Bret Hart, Owen Hart in their prime. Well, Bret probably in his prime. Maybe not so much. I mean, this is kind of the rise, just the beginning of Owen Hart. Don't know if I'd consider this his prime. But, yeah, it was... It was a very good match. A lot of fun stuff. A lot of reversals. There was that really fun reversal.
Like a triple reversal.
Off the corner. Yeah.
Pretty cool stuff.
A lot of fun reversals. Good technical wrestling. This was just overall a good match. I think I would give it a four cum shots.
Do it.
To the mouth.
Oh, there we go. We're now on the mature level. Dear Lord, way to take our podcast off the PG to PG-13 rating.
Why the fuck were we PG or PG-13? We
just went straight to X. Oh, man. Now parents won't let us their kids listen to us anymore.
We could be NC-17.
No, I will have to say, since we're making jokes, I just can't believe what Owen had to do to get that win, you know? The things he had to do. I mean, wipe your mouth, Owen. Dear Lord.
So for those of you that haven't been watching the podcast or watching the pay-per-views with us while we talk about them on the podcast, Owen Hart had this little white spot on the left side of his mouth.
We're assuming spit.
I'm guessing spit, but it looked very white. It didn't look as clear like you would think spit would be. It was just hanging there. And he did an entire interview after the match, which we should probably talk about that interview.
Here's my problem. Was Owen not liked in the back? Because
he went
all the way from the ring to the interviewer to Todd Pettengill, And nobody once said, hey, Owen, wipe your mouth. he went through the whole after-match interview.
It's the only thing we could think of. Like, we just kept looking, like, wipe your mouth. Oh, my gosh. It's right there. It's right. Even the interview is just, like, ignoring it.
You know, the sad thing is we're in 2021. If Peacock and WWE Network wanted to, they could have digitally edited this years ago.
But they didn't, and he just has this little spot on the side of his mouth that looked a little questionable, especially after that roll-up.
He did get it after a roll-up. Yeah. I will say the one thing that disappointed me about this match was the ending. There wasn't a big finish. It was kind of a surprise ending.
Well, Brett was about to do a roll up on Owen Hart, and Owen Hart kind of blocks it and stops him, and then just like,
yeah, I mean, it was a neat way
to finish it.
It was just not a shocking or big move, or not, you know, it was just kind of a roll up.
But I think that was the point. This was a shocking win. I'm sure nobody in 1994 predicted Owen Hart to beat Bret Hart at this time in his career.
Yeah.
Nobody expected this win. It was all set. I mean, Bret Hart is set to fight for the title tonight.
Yeah, and he still gets to, because on this WrestleMania, if you remember right, Royal Rumble, we had double winners. And right. We had dual winners, and so they flipped a coin. Lex Luger gets to face Yokozuna first. Bret Hart gets the winner of that match, regardless of what happened in this Owen Hart-Bret match, which is why this match started the show, to give him a chance to wrestle later in the night, which makes me wonder when we're going to get Yokozuna-Lex. Just kind of curious.
I'm guessing like it will be like the mid... right in the middle.
Yeah.
I'm guessing in the middle. Unless it's like the next match.
It'd be interesting.
Give them both
a
break.
Okay, so let's move on and see what the rest of the show has in store for us. Okay, so the next match. Oh, well, before we get to the next match, I'd like to point out that they just showed us footage of WrestleMania 2.
So, yeah, we're going to be getting all the WrestleManias.
So, yeah, they just didn't give it to us all at once, but it looks like throughout the night we're going to get WrestleMania clips. So I was really excited to see that. Yeah. So that was pretty cool. We get to go out, down on memory lane and see the work we have put in on the podcast.
That's
just,
right.
Just because
that's what's important.
That's what's important.
Not the pay-per-views.
Not their accomplishments.
It's our work that we've watched.
It's our accomplishments that matter here.
Absolutely.
So the next match is a mixed tag match between Bam Bam Bigelow and Luna Vachon, his freshly squeezed or whatever they call her.
His main squeeze.
This
isn't Orange Cassidy.
His main squeeze.
Bam Bam and Luna Vachon isn't freshly squeezed. That's Orange
Cassidy.
But
it's the main squeeze, which makes Orange Cassidy, he's a ripoff. He took it from
Luna
Vachon.
No, he's fresh.
He took it from Luna Vachon.
He's freshly squeezed.
Okay, so anyhow, they are facing the team of Doink and Dink the Clown. And I'm going to be honest with you, the moments with Doink and Bam Bam were all right. They were good, just nothing spectacular, but they were decent parts of the match. But when you put Luna and Dink in there, it was just a comedy show, and honestly, I have nothing for this. It was just, to me, it was a hit-or-miss match. I'm going to give it maybe two little dinks, just because the wrestling part with Doink and Bam Bam was pretty good, decent stuff, but it was all the other stuff that just made this just a matter of fact, there was a screw-up where Luna Vachon actually smashed.
Well, this was after the match.
It was after the match.
By the way, Bam Bam actually wins this match.
Yeah, Bam Bam won this match. That was kind of crazy. You know, he pinned Doink.
With a flying headbutt.
Yeah, so I don't know. This just match was just there for comedy relief.
Yeah. Dink is no Chris Holyfield, okay? No Chris Holyfield. We're quite partial with our little person wrestlers.
Yeah. Good throwback.
Yeah.
And if you haven't yet, go
Check out our interview with Chris Hollyfield. He was the little boogeyman. That's what you probably know him the most as. He was
Little Booker T.
Little Booker T. He was, you know, on the little person's court, little people court.
For DX.
Well, yes. On DX's trial.
Yes, so he's done a couple things for the WWE. But yeah, Little Boogeyman would have been his biggest run that he had done.
Yeah, because Little Booker T was on there once, the DX trial, that was just one time.
But it was guys like Dink that led the way. Actually, there was some other small wrestlers in the early WrestleManias, if you remember.
Right? Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, I remember, too. But that's about all I have for this match. It was the comedy relief. I just don't... And we talked about the little botch at the end. They did a moment where Dink was supposed to go underneath Bam Bam, go underneath Luna, and they kind of jumped after him.
Well, he was on the ground. He was trying to roll away.
He was trying to roll away while Luna landed on him.
Yeah.
And
I'm pretty sure she wasn't supposed to.
You could tell she wasn't supposed to.
Yeah, they were supposed. It was supposed to be a jump and miss. She did not miss.
She did not miss. She crushed. I'm just glad it was her that missed.
And not Bam Bam. Bam. Bam.
Otherwise, this would be a darker WrestleMania. They would have had to peel Dink off the mat there.
Yeah.
Poor Dink. Okay, so let's keep it going.
I don't suppose I could rate this.
Oh yeah, sure. Why not? Go ahead. Do your best.
This wasn't a great match. And another thing, like, yeah, you're right. The parts with Doink and Bam Bam were all right, but this didn't have a lot of the Doink antics that make the Doink matches
fun.
They
focused more on Dink antics.
Yeah, they did. But, you know, we had no, like, water spraying out of the flower.
He sprayed the Hair Club for Men guy right before the match.
Yeah, but that don't count. That's not during the match.
But he did.
That's not during the match.
Oh, and we'd like to point out, before the match, there was this guy who was the owner of Hair Club for Men, and they showed Howard Finkel with hair.
With hair, yeah.
With hair, so.
Probably a wig.
Probably.
But, yeah, so, what do I give this? Two, not Chris Hollyfield.
Good deal. Okay, so the next match is the Macho Man, Randy Savage, versus Crush in a Falls Count Anywhere match. And this is a little different. I've never really seen a match like this before. I've been watching wrestling my whole life. I don't remember this match from WrestleMania 10. But you have 60 seconds after your pin to get back to the ring. If you can get back to the ring, the match continues. So that is the rules to this match. And we see these rules come into play immediately. Crush throws Macho Man up against the barricade. He, like, picks him up and drops him on his neck on the barricade right there at the entrance ramp. And he pins him 1, 2, 3. And, of course, Macho Man takes 59 seconds to get back to the ring. So then Macho Man does the elbow drop in the ring and then literally has to roll Crush out of the ring to pin him because that's the rules. So he rolls him out of the ring, pins him, and then, of course, Crush takes 59 seconds to get back to the ring. But this was actually a very fun match. I think it could have been a little bit longer. The match ended up ending with Macho Man actually doing what I kind of suggested while we were watching, take them to the back and then pin them, and it'll take them longer. But there was a little twist to this that I didn't know was legal.
Mr. Fuji hits Macho Man in the back with his cane
to prevent him from getting
right
in
front of the referee. So I think it was no disqualification.
I would assume this is
it
no
had
to
be no disqualification. So I think it's perfectly legal to tie them up or hang them up from a crane or whatever.
Well, no, that wasn't the part that. I guess I get what you're saying, but he takes him to the back and there's like a. Just for some reason, there's a little handheld mobile crane For some reason.
For some reason.
You never know what you're going to find in the backstage area of a wrestling arena. Yeah. So,
Madison.
So anyhow, so Macho Man pins Crush, 1, 2, 3, and then instead of going back to the ring and waiting the 60 seconds, he hog ties him up to this crane and pulls him up like he's a fisherman. So the Crush was his big catch of the day. The only thing that would have made this even more perfect if he had a fisherman's hat on and took a picture.
Yeah, right.
With a fishing pole next to him.
That would have been great.
That would have been great. Maybe in modern wrestling that might have actually happened, but they didn't go full cheese here. But the part that surprised me is it took him like 30-some seconds to tie him up, and then he walked back to the ring area, and it's like the other two times Crush and Macho Man went back to the ring and waited. And it made me wonder, why didn't the guy just stick around and beat the crap out of the guy and make sure he never got back to the ring? Like, how's that legal? And then, of course, Jerry the King Lawler also did not think it was legal. Yeah. But with a match that I've never heard of before and know the rules, I don't know if it was okay or not. But
I think it's a crap match.
They counted to 60 seconds. Macho Man wins the match. But it was an interesting, different type of match. I've never seen one like this. I'm going to have to give it probably... I really enjoyed this. I'm going to have this as 4 fishermen's.
You know, I was thinking about going the same route. This match kind of feels like a early version of a Last Man Standing match.
Kind of. Yeah, I can see that.
I mean, it's a little different. You got to keep him down for 10 seconds. I mean, you take away the going back to the ring part, and it feels like a Last Man Standing match.
I see that. I get the comparison.
So I'm going to give this maybe 3 Last Man Standings.
Okay. Okay, so the next match is for the Women's Championship. This is the first time we've seen the women's championship defended since what? WrestleMania 3, maybe? 4? I'd have to do the research. It was a while ago.
It's been a long time.
I think they abandoned the women's division in 1989, so whatever that... 85, 86, 86. Yeah, probably WrestleMania 4, I think, might have been the last time we saw a actual women's match. This was weird because Alundra Blaze was pretty exciting to watch.
She wasn't too bad.
She
had a good look to her and good outfit.
Good moves.
Good wrestling.
She would really fit in with today's women's division. Which is, you know, it looks like she might have wrestled in a time that there wasn't a lot of good competition for her. But she really impressed me. I know who Alundra Blaze is, but I don't remember watching her a lot. Does that make sense?
I know her by name, I think mostly because I think she recently... Didn't she recently go into the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, she might have, but the biggest thing I remember is she's the one who threw away the women's title on WCW.
Oh, yeah.
That's her big claim to fame, in my opinion, but she went to WCW and threw away the women's title.
Oh, and changed to Medusa.
Yes. So yeah, that's kind of the big thing I remember about Alundra Blaze. Which, in all honesty, if it wasn't for what happened with Alundra Blaze on WCW, I don't know if the Montreal Screwjob would have happened.
Oh, yeah?
Think about it. Just think about that for a second. Think about the fact that Alundra Blaze went to WCW and Eric Bischoff, because according to Alundra Blaze, she didn't want to do it, but Eric Bischoff kind of forced her, you know, whatever, to do it. That was his idea. And she threw it away on Monday Nitro. And if you think about it, I almost wonder if Vince saw that and wondered what they would have done.
I see where you're going.
Had Bret Hart left for WCW as the champion, would he have done something similar? Because you know Eric Bischoff would have asked him to. So it really kind of, I really think Alundra Blaze really kind of was a precursor on why the Montreal Screwjob took place. Just an opinion of mine.
Just a heads up, Alundra Blaze was inducted in 2015 to the Hall of Fame.
Oh, so it was a little while ago. Okay.
Yeah, she's been there.
Well, impressed the hell out of me. She faced Leilani Kai, who actually was Wendy Richter's opponent. Leilani Kai was the champion at WrestleMania 1 that Wendy Richter beat for the women's title at WrestleMania 1. So it was kind of a cool callback to bring Leilani Kai 10 years later back to WrestleMania. So that was kind of neat. But really, you could see...
She did not look like she belonged.
Really, you could see Alundra Blaze literally carried this match.
She did.
But it was impressive. I will give this a solid 3.5 welcome back women.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back.
That's the only word you...
Yeah, no, I don't remember the rest of it. I'll go 3, and I already did the song, so 3, that song.
3 and that song.
Yeah, yeah, it wasn't that bad. And you're right, Alundra Blaze was, I mean, she wasn't, like, super impressive, but in this day and time when there was very few women wrestlers, you know, she looked decent. And I feel bad for her because it seems like she was in wrestling at a time when women didn't get any kind of... Like, Luna Vachon is the only woman wrestler we've seen in the last few years on the podcast.
Yeah, Sherry's not even there anymore that we've
yeah,
noticed.
Sensational Sherry's gone.
We haven't
gone.
Seen Sherry for about a year, I'd say. Because she was on Monday Night Raw, and Raw started in 93.
Okay, so
she
was
there
a little there bit.
For a little bit, but I haven't seen her in a while. So... I'm guessing she might have left.
And really, most of the time we've seen Luna, we haven't seen her wrestle.
No, she's been Bam Bam's freshly squeezed.
Yeah. And before that, Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, yeah. So she's pretty much been a manager role.
Yeah.
So, okay. Okay, so I think that's where we're going to have to cut it off at for part one of WrestleMania 10. So far, I've been pretty impressed with the show. I think the Bam Bam Luna Doink Dink mixed tag match was kind of a dud, but it was what it was. It was a comedy show. It wasn't bad because it was bad. Does that make sense? Like, it wasn't a bad, bad match. It just, to me, I just have no place for that. It was your comedy section of the show. I prefer WrestleMania to have better matches instead right. of these little comedy bits with the dink and doink and all this. So, in my opinion, this is shaping up to be a really good WrestleMania match-wise. Even, like I said, you've got a women's match that we haven't had women's matches in a while, and it impressed me. I really, really enjoyed this women's match, to be honest with you. So, I mean, I was pleasantly surprised, to be honest, because I didn't know how good women's wrestling was at this time, because in the 80s, it wasn't great. In the 90s, in the late 90s, it was more sexual. You had
We're about to get to puppies.
Yeah, you had Trish Stratus, you had Lita, I mean... You'd eventually have the Glamazon, which I'm going more into the 2000s. You did have, in China, you had standout performers, but for the most part, they wasn't really treated. I mean, they had some good matches, but other than that, it was mostly sexual and bra and panty matches and stuff.
Right.
So really, women's wrestling's been kind of shit on throughout the years, and it really hasn't really been great until the last 5 years, I'd say. Women's wrestling has been almost surpassed the men in some times. I mean, I remember watching some pay-per-views thinking some of the women's matches were better than the guys. Well, I think this past WrestleMania,
Oh, yeah.
I think the match between Sasha Banks and... why can't I think of her name all of a sudden now that I'm talking about it? The current SmackDown
the
women. The EST of WWE. Bianca Belair.
Yeah.
Anyhow, yeah. So Bianca Belair, Sasha Banks. I thought that was the best match of WrestleMania this year. So I mean, it's really came a long way. But I really liked Alundra Blaze in this match, and I really hope that we get more of her before she ends up doing that infamous thing she does with WCW and throwing away the women's title.
Right.
So let's go ahead and plug the pluggables.
Well, you can find me on the Dragon Blazer Productions on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. You can also find me on the Twitters on Dragon Blazer Pro. You can call the Rage and Blaze show so you can tell Rage that he's wrong about cinematic matches at 567-443-0663. And as we've been bringing up...
I bet your phone blows up all the time, doesn't it?
All the time. Ever. But you can also, you know, give us those 5 stars. Just five time
podcast champions.
Give us those 5 stars on. Give us a rate and review us on Apple Podcast. Be great.
That would be swell.
It would be swell.
Okay, so you can find the Rage and Blaze Show on Facebook. You can find at the Rage and Blaze Show on Instagram, and you can find me on Twitter at Ricky Rayberg. And that's going to do it for our WrestleMania 10 Part 1 podcast. We'll be back for our Part 2 episode. So this has been the Rage and Blaze Show. I'm Rage.
And I'm Blaze.
And good night from Rage's Pit.
And here is your winners and still podcast tag team champions of the world,
the Rage and Blaze Show.
Thank you for listening.